Hello, folks. This is Glenn Krause from Core CDI and Top Gun Artist School with another great podcast. I have the real pleasure of speaking with Dr. Cesar Limhoco. He's the Chief Medical Officer of T-Medicus. I've known Dr. Limhoco for, 10 years now? 10 or 12 years, going back to Bob Gold. I certainly do miss Dr. Gold. Dr. Limhoco is the Chief Medical Officer of T-Medicus. For more than 25 years, Dr. Limhoco has delivered clinical documentation integrity services to hospitals across the country. He has built a solid reputation of integrity and accuracy through commitment to documentation and coding excellence built on the solid foundation of the clinical truth. Dr. Limhoco's career path has brought him to work for a regional hospital association, a Big Four consulting firm, and a quality improvement organization. A prolific author on clinical documentation and coding, he has presented at ACTIS National Conferences, AHIMA National Conference, various state and local HFMA and HCCA conferences. Dr. Limhoco has also been a guest speaker in national webinars and podcasts. He is also an editorial board member of the ICD-10 Monitor and a charter member of the ACTIS Regulatory Committee. Dr. Limhoco, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Glenn.
It's a
pleasure
good
to
have
be
you.
Here with you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, listen, Dr. Limhoco, I'd like to get your thoughts. We were exchanging ideas or comments on LinkedIn last week about the concept of medical necessity. And I thought we would talk today about the savior of medical necessity, the savior of hospitals, and savior of healthcare in 2020 and beyond. The CDI. And, you know, I think we agree that without medical necessity, there simply is no CDI. So I wanted to get your take on that. You know, you have 25-plus years of experience just as much or maybe even more on clinical documented integrity. So your thoughts and comments for our listeners.
Yes. Thank you for saying that, Glenn.
Thank you.
Yes, I've been doing this even before what's called CDI.
Mm-hmm, me too.
And it was interesting that you and I both were at the cusp of the birth of CDI, and it was very exciting to see that, to be in there and see how CDI has evolved. And as you had said, there were a lot of things that went on. And my experiences in CDI have come full circle. And going back to medical necessity, I would like to share you a story about medical necessity and CDI. I have been involved with client hospitals who are in they have a very robust program, but then they start going crazy because they couldn't find out what the principal diagnosis is in some cases. And they've involved in denials, DRG denials, and trying to appeal the cases.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't figure out what is the principal diagnosis in this case. And they go through different routes, different principal diagnosis. But really it comes down to one thing, and that is medical necessity.
That's right.
When you are not sure why the patient is being admitted, probably that's a medical necessity issue. It has to be clear in the documentation why the patient needs to be admitted into care. And that's what it comes down to. I mean, it can't be any simpler than that.
Yeah, you know, and the reality is I'm a coder by trade. Okay, Dr. Limhoco, I'm a coder by trade. My first coding job was in Arkansas Children's Hospital way back in 1993. Okay, codings have changed from ICD-9 to ICD-10. I still do some coding today because I like to keep my hands in coding. The unfortunate, I have to unfortunately say that I am still having challenges, even more challenges today, assigning a principal diagnosis, okay, because we're getting poor documentation. There's no question about it. Let me ask a question, Dr. Lindenhoko. Do you see any improvement in the quality of communication of patient care? Forget the reimbursement. Do you see any improvement in the quality as a physician? Let's say you're going to assume the patient's care from the hospitalist tomorrow. So you look so tomorrow you look at the history and physical and a couple of days of progress notes. Do you see any improvement so that that accepting physician can take over exactly where that physician left?
In general, it's gotten worse, Glenn. The advent of the electronic medical records has brought with it some ills of its own.
Absolutely.
And the inappropriate copying and pasting of H&Ps and progress notes
right.
have brought about this confusion as to what really is going on with the patient. And I'm sorry to say, but that's what it is. Electronic medical records is still in its nascent form, and it needs to go through its evolution so that we can finally tap into its full potential. But
right
now,
absolutely.
It's not doing what it's supposed to be doing.
Okay, so let me ask you.
It's actually adding to burnouts, or what we call now moral injuries of physicians, because
yes, sir.
All of these things that are going on are just not helpful to anybody.
Okay, so
much
we're
less,
out there.
Much less to the patient.
Right. And I want to add before I make a point, Dr. Lindenhoko, great conversation. What we're doing is, I think, adding to more confusion. What do you call it? Administrative burden, burnout, what do you call it?
Moral injury.
Yeah, moral injury. I like that. You should copyright that, trademark that. Moral injury.
Oh, no, I didn't come out with that.
Okay, too bad. But listen, seriously now, moral injury or administrative burden, whatever you want to call it, physician burnout. Repeatedly asking queries every day, lodging queries like a bow and arrow as physician targets, does not help that moral injury at all. Is just contributing to that. And what's your philosophy on CDI expanding their role into medical necessity? And what I mean by expanding their role as a savior of medical necessity is understanding the urgent need to get out of our comfort zone, to get out of the narrowly defined scope of work, to get out of the box we're in, and take the initiative to become more proficient in best practice standards and principles of documentation as an integral part of a chart review. For instance, when I'm reviewing a chart, I'm looking for, is there a chief complaint? Is it in the patient's own words? Do I have a history of present illness that's relevant to the present illness and not so much the past illness? Do I have four elements of history of present illness? A minimum of four, because if you don't have four, then you can rest assured there's not a good patient story. It's methodical. Is that something CDI should be entertaining?
Yes, I believe so. I think it's a primary objective that needs to be done, because otherwise everything else that happens after that is for naught.
That's right. That's why I said, without medical necessity, there is no CDI. And do you agree with that statement? Am I in left field with that?
No, definitely you're on the ball, Glenn. And it may be daunting to some, but really we're not trying to take over from utilization management.
No,
it really comes down to one thing, and it's really simple. You say, tell me again, doc, why did you admit this patient?
That's right.
That's what it comes down to. Why did you admit this patient? A lot of physicians and a lot of folks, coders and CDIs, get waylaid by this principal diagnosis issue. And it really should be simple. Why was the patient admitted? And this thing, you had mentioned about the chief complaint.
Yes.
I just wanted to say something about that. What brought the patient to the ER? Maybe not what bought the inpatient bed. So the patient may come in for a complaint of abdominal pain. And once the patient presents to the ER, the physician says, oh, the abdominal pain is really not a big thing. It's a minor thing.
That's right.
Let's say it's a gastroenteritis or maybe a GERD. Mm-hmm. But then while examining the patient, observing the patient, the physician finds out that there's something wrong with the patient that needs acute inpatient care. That is what the principal diagnosis is. Not the GERD or the abdominal pain from gastroenteritis, mm-hmm. because that's something that can be taken care of in an outpatient status.
Right,
it's
the
other thing.
That's right. I think we're focusing too much on getting the CCs and MCCs and optimizing them, that we're not focusing on the patient story. I'm seeing a lot of denials from medical necessity that were contributed to, and I'm not negative. I call it like it is, but just like you do, Dr. Limhoko. Okay.
Let me share you another story, which goes to the beginning of Medicare.
Okay, go ahead.
Back in the 80s, around start of the 80s or mid 80s, when IPPS, PPS, I mean, not IPPS, the PPS, the Prospective Payment System, came into being, there was a reason why that happened. And the reason was that, they looked at the data and they saw that if we keep on doing what we were doing, the Medicare Trust Fund will just disappear maybe in about 20, 40 years from then. And the reason why it was that is because patients were being admitted unnecessarily, inappropriately.
That's
it became
right.
like a revolving door, In fact, one of the main DRGs that came up in the first maybe 4 or 5 years of DRGs, Medicare, PPS, was COPD. COPD was the number one cause, the number one DRG for admission for the inpatient. And people were saying, it was analyzed and said, why is that? And it became clear that it became a revolving door between the SNF, the skilled nursing facility, and the acute inpatient care hospital. Patients were being shipped to the inpatient care and shipped out to the SNF probably on a monthly basis. It just goes in and out.
That's right.
And not only that, the length of stay of the patients on an inpatient care has become so long. People stayed for months, years. In years. I've seen patients stay in an acute inpatient care for a year or so.
No kidding.
And it was just a waste of resources.
Absolutely.
Not just a waste of resources, but you're exposing those patients to the risk of inpatient care.
That's right.
People,
infections
may
and all
come
that.
In.
Yeah.
Exactly. Patients may come in for a very innocuous condition.
Yeah.
And may not end up going home and may end up dying because they acquire some hospital acquired infection.
That's right. UTI,
and that has happened
sepsis,
again and again and again.
That's right.
Yes. So that's what the DRG system is supposed to show. It somehow forces the hospitals to justify the need for acute inpatient care. And the way they do that is by figuring out why the patient was being admitted. What is the principal diagnosis? What is it that needed admission? And that's the story.
Okay. That's exactly my point too. Is that okay? Just a couple of key points so we can kind of wrap this up. This has been well, very, very helpful, Dr. Limhoco. If you look at the improper payment supplemental data report, 2019 cert contractor, fee for service improper payment report, table D4 and E4, it's a top 20 DRGs with improper payments. Unbelievable to see that the number one DRG for improper payments was DRG 470. That's hips and knees, right? Hips and knees replacements. And 100% was based on medical necessity. So we're looking for a major CC, and we haven't even helped demonstrate why the patient's getting the hip to begin with, or knee. If you look at the top 20, they're common DRGs, acute renal failure. Sepsis had a large number of improper payments. Over 60% was related to a coding, but it's not really coding. It was really insufficient to me. Coders know when to code sepsis as a principal diagnosis. Either we're over hyper asking for sepsis when it's not there, so it's not clinically valid as a principal, or it was listed once. You know how we query physicians and they answer the query, and then the diagnosis dies, right? There's not any consistent documentation, so that's like fodder for outside reviewers to say it's not there. It doesn't appear in the discharge summary. So there's so much more we should be doing with medical necessity. And I think, as you stated and you agree, we really should be focusing on changing our practices, expanding the horizons, becoming more proficient in the standards and principles of documentation. Not taking the place of UR and case management, but actually working together hand in hand. Do you have any facilities where the CDI is actually working with case management and UR as a synergistic team approach? You seen anything like that?
Yes, I have. Especially in the smaller hospitals,
That's
medium-sized hospitals, I see that happening. When there's more collegiality
correct.
between folks inside the hospital, and especially since the UR nurse is friends with the CDI nurse, and the CDI nurse also friendly with the coders.
That's right.
That's really what it comes down to. Really need a collaborative approach.
Right now, and is it, do you see that as the best practice model?
Definitely.
Yeah,
You
me too.
can't operate in silos.
That's correct, and most facilities are operating in silos. And you know, I have my opinion of why that's what that is, because we have KPIs, key performance indicators that are not really they're task-based. How many charts reviewed? How many queries left? What's the agreement rate? What's the response rate? I think you can agree, based on our conversation and emails and conversation over the years, KPIs that we have today are more detrimental than anything else. They're causing
That's
us
very true.
to not achieve a high-performing CDI program. You know, it gets me very aggravated when I see CDI leadership going to administration and tooting and touting their horn and getting a bonus based on KPIs, meeting their targets. Meanwhile, they're getting denials up the wazoo. I can speak of one facility in the middle, in mid Massachusetts, with five or six hospitals that is experiencing that same phenomenon. It's totally unbelievable. It defies logic. And so I want to close with this.
And even before KPIs, hospital departments have their own, how do you call that, service line, cost, and so forth, and it will show whether they were profitable or
Oh,
not. I forget
yeah.
their.
Profit and loss service line.
Right,
P&L
and
service line.
because of that, departments kind of were pitted against each other, inadvertently, I would say, and so you have to show your profitability to the
Yes, sir.
powers that be,
That's right.
And so that created silos.
You know what brings me an interesting point as we close here? I was talking to one of my colleagues, a close colleague, physician, advocate, and champion. He actually works in a couple of hospitals in Kentucky, working with physicians hand in hand on the floor. He is the CDI. He supports the CDI's professionals at the hospital, and is out there on what we call preemptive or proactive denials, avoidance, documentation, which is another, I think, another podcast. But in any case, it goes back to CDI working closely with case manager, and you are. And the piece that I want to, you said collegial. In many facilities, it's almost like a faction, CDI against coding, to see whose DRG is going to be accepted. That's the most ridiculous thing. Aren't we talking about the same patient?
Exactly.
I mean, it tells me we're focusing on the wrong thing. And so it all goes back to, well, we're working on behalf of the physician to help the physician help the patient. Case manager, I work with case manager, and you are on behalf of the patient to get the right care at the right time, at the right reason, with the right documentation of clinical judgment and medical decision-making that supports the diagnosis. Making the patient congruent with the diagnosis is what we should be doing. And unfortunately, I've seen many programs, or the majority, not going in the right direction. Any last word, Dr. Limhoko, before we close this up?
It all comes down to one thing, and
yes,
what
sir.
Is your bottom line? What is the facility's bottom line? And it's very important, because whatever North Star you're following will show whether you're doing it the right way or not.
That's right.
If
you want the clinical,
if
you want, go ahead.
The clinical truth is
really say that.
what everyone should be focusing on. Because with that in mind, everything else falls into place. You'll have the optimal reimbursement, you will have optimal quality measures, and you will have the best patient care, because everything flows together.
Absolutely. I love that coin. You term your coin clinical truth. And Dr. Drake Martin, I posted something that was actually his idea. There's no room for embellishment in the medical record. This is not a fiction story. This is the clinical truth. Dr. Limhoko, I really want to thank you for your time. A couple of points before we close out. I'm a co-founder of Top Gun Audit School and founder of Core CDI. Please visit each core-cdi.com and topgunauditschool.com. If you put your email in and register on topgunauditschool.com, there's availability of 6 free. That's right. Complimentary 1-hour webinars. I did one with my colleague, Heidi Hillstrom, CDI manager at a hospital in Duluth, Minnesota. It's called CDI. What CDI can learn from those pesky medical necessity denials. And I also just did a webinar recently with Tabitha Hateman, case management, a long-time case management professional with CDI background, why it's important for CDI to break outside the silos. So please go to the website, sign up for our newsletter and so forth. And Dr. Limhoko, thank you so much, and appreciate your time. Keep up the good fight in doing what's right, the clinical truth.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me on your show, Grant.
Yeah, thank you.